Welcome to the Book Show, a celebration of reading and writers. I'm Joe Donahue. Pulitzer Prize-winning author Elizabeth Strout's latest Tell Me Everything is about new friendships, old loves, and the very human desire to leave a mark on the world. Strout returns to the town of Crosby, Maine, and to her beloved cast of characters, Lucy Barton, Olive Kittredge, Bob Burgess, and others, as they deal with a shocking crime in their midst, forge new friendships, make difficult decisions about love, and grapple with the question, as Lucy Barton puts it, what does anyone's life mean? Elizabeth Strout is the number one New York Times bestselling author of Lucy by the Sea, O. William, which was shortlisted for the Booker Prize, Olive Again, Anything is Possible, My Name is Lucy Barton, and of course, Olive Kittredge, winner of the Pulitzer Prize. It is always a pleasure to welcome Elizabeth Strout to the Book Show. Thank you so much for being with us. What a delight to have you back.
Thank you for asking me. It's lovely to be here with you. Thank you so much.
I can't tell you how much I love this novel. It's so beautiful, so embracing and lovely. It elicits such a mood and a feeling that I'm wondering, do you feel that way often as you are working so hard on writing it?
You know, it's very interesting because I'm really just working on writing it, and I'm working on making sure the characters all stay true to who they really are. And then only much later, as I read the whole thing, am I aware of a certain kind of atmosphere that there has been in the book or is in the book.
So you don't create an atmosphere.
I'm not consciously creating an atmosphere. I'm consciously working on the characters. And yet, obviously, I am creating an atmosphere without my even fully knowing it. You see what I mean?
Absolutely. Because each character brings with it their own quirks, their own feelings, their own vibe that dictates at any given time, right?
So the stories that they have and that will be on the page about them evoke a certain feeling, I think, is what I'm trying to say.
What ultimately brought you to this idea in this story where so many of the characters come together and overlap?
It sort of gradually began to run around in my mind. And then it was sort of all of a sudden I realized, wait a minute, these people are all living pretty much in the same town or close to each other. I mean, you know, Shirley Falls is 45 minutes away. And I just thought, but I think the initial thing for the book was, let's get Lucy Barton together with Olive Kittredge, because they are so different and yet they're living there. And I thought, okay, so that was the first thing, was to have Olive summon Lucy, because Olive has a story to tell her. And that was sort of the beginning. And then I realized, okay, let's go with all these other people that are sitting around. And Bob Burgess, you know, I love him. So I made it a lot about Bob as well, because he's central to everybody. But I think that's how it started.
In the idea of just tell me everything, it's the stories that are shared between Olive and Lucy. And what fascinated you about that, of these two women who are really bound in this novel and in this moment over stories?
You know, it occurred to me that Olive Kittredge, as different as her personality is from Lucy, Olive is a curious person. And just because she's, you know, older now and living in this retirement home, it doesn't mean that she's not still very curious about the lives of people. And then I thought, that's something that she and Lucy will have in common. And of course, Olive is also, you know, lonely, and Lucy is a really good listener for her. And then I just realized, okay, let's have this as a motif that they will, every number of pages, you know, be telling each other a story about unrecorded lives, as they have called them.
And there is a sharing between the women as to the stories, and they're sort of feeling each other out too, aren't they, as to stories they find interesting and what they make of the stories.
Exactly, precisely. And, you know, when Lucy finally tells Olive a story, Olive doesn't think it's much of a story. And she's so surprised because she thinks Lucy's supposed to be a storyteller. And that was just sort of fun.
When you think of Lucy as a storyteller and as someone that you obviously have written about, so when you go into that, do you have a knowledge of the type of story that she is going to to tell that she's going to write, or a story that Olive would find interesting and fascinating?
Well, when I wrote that story, the first story that the first one that Lucy tells Olive, it really just came to me. I mean, I wasn't planning out a story necessarily, but I thought, okay, let's think from Lucy's, you know, head. This is what happened to her. And so she's going to tell Olive this. And she either doesn't tell it well, or it's not a story that Olive understands, except that Olive does ultimately understand it. So I'm never really sure when I sit down to work what will come out.
When you realize that of what comes out, that seems like it could be a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
At times.
Oh, yeah.
What is that like?
Well, a lot comes out that just, you know, ends up on the floor, frankly. There's a lot that I write that I just realize, okay, that's not good. I'm not going to use that. But I don't know it until it's written. And then I realize, no, that's not working. So it's just a matter of, like I said at the beginning, it's just a matter of trying to be very true to the characters that I'm writing about and to be sure and follow through with them according to who they are. Even though they will, I hope, surprise us, they surprise me, but it still has to be within their character, you see.
You have such an ensemble cast here, the main characters, but of course, spouses and ex-spouses and colleagues and friends and all kinds of shifts. And you have to keep track of all of that. I think even for us, the reader, we have a certain obligation to keep track of it, or at least I wanted to, which is fun. We know that we've perhaps read that name or heard that name, and then sometimes just say, oh, okay, that's who that person is.
Right. And that's why the narrative voice of this book was a little different for me, because I realized rather soon on, I thought, okay, I have to have a very large, faraway narrator who's also up close and including the reader every step of the way. And I always think about the reader whenever I write. I always have. And so I had a close relationship with the reader this time, because I thought, okay, I don't want the reader to get confused. And I also, every time I write, I never assume that any reader has read any other of my work. And that was true with this book. So it can stand alone. And I needed the narrator to really actively take part in a way that I don't think I've ever quite done before, you know, to help the reader feel safe as we were going from these different people to their different stories.
Elizabeth Strout is our guest. The name of the new novel is Tell Me Everything. It is out from Random House. Tell us about the importance of Maine and specifically Crosby. There are other locations in this book in New York, Manhattan, and Brooklyn, but Crosby is where most of the action takes place and where these characters seem like they're most at home. What is it, do you think, about that place that adds so much to the fabric of the novel?
Well, I think that a small town is always, for me, it's always interesting fictionally, because dramatically one can take a character in that town and realize how they relate to another character, and yet somebody else in the town relates to that character in an entirely different way. So it's like a little bit of a microcosm, you know, we're allowed to see the different facets of one character seen through all the different people in the town that know them. And I think that's interesting, because it sort of goes to the question of who are we actually, you know, I'm this person with this person and that person with that person. And obviously it's the same person. And yet it's not quite, you see.
And you have control over that, obviously, as the author, that you can present what side you want to present to us and allow us to run with that.
Right. Exactly. I mean, when Bob Burgess is, you know, visiting that woman, Mrs. Hasselbeck, in town, who he delivers groceries to, and, you know, she's asking him to take her old underpants and write a B on the back so she knows how to get the money. That's a very different relationship than Bob has with anybody else in town. But that's because she's Mrs. Hasselbeck. She's old. She needs him. And so he does that for her. And then his relationship with somebody like Lucy or his wife is an entirely different relationship. And yet he's still Bob, you see. Still Bob.
You said earlier Bob was a character that had always intrigued you. This is a very decent person who perhaps doesn't really know just how decent he
That's
is.
right. That's right. You know, he had a troubled background. And I think that might have, informed some of who he is, but he's just one of those people, and you do see them around, just a nice person who's not deeply reflective, does not really understand that about himself, but just receives the problems of other people and tries to help them almost without his even knowing that about himself.
You write in this novel about his friendship with Lucy and the walks that they take and the talks that they have. Why is that relationship so important to him?
Because he feels heard by Lucy. And there's one point where the narrator says, who in this world does not want to be heard? And I think because Lucy is a very good listener, and she also talks to him as well, but Bob, in his quiet Bob way, feels like he is heard by Lucy. And when you're heard by somebody, you feel seen. And so that's a lovely comfort for a person to have, to be listened to, genuinely listened to.
You talked a moment ago about the finding the narrative voice to this novel was difficult at first. There is such a charm to it though, where as you do, where the narrator will say, as you will recall, or
Right.
as you will find out later, there is that conversational
Yes.
tone that you keep.
Yes, and that was once I was able to find that, then I thought, okay, this is the voice that I will tell this story to, and I will acknowledge to the reader, you might have forgotten this, so I'm just going to remind you, not I, but the narrator.
Right. And that seems to me that's something that you have the reader in mind
Yeah,
throughout the process.
that's right. I do, and I always have.
I've spoken to many authors who say I don't worry about the reader until the end, and sometimes I don't even worry about them then. But that is a different idea.
Yeah. Years ago, I realized, wait a minute, if I can make up a character, I can make up a reader. And I'm not literally, I have the presence of a reader sitting across from me at the table all the time. And that ideal reader is without gender, it's just a presence. But the ideal reader that I have that I'm writing for is somebody who's patient, but not really patient, somebody who's interested, but not super interested. And so my job is to deliver to this reader something that makes that reader feel included and that will want to go with me through the book.
And that makes it extraordinary in the sense that for a person who may be patient or may not be patient, that you want to get their attention, and it's figuring that out.
I want them to come with me, and I want to prove to them that I can deliver something that will be helpful to them ultimately on some level, even if it just means for 2 minutes they don't feel as alone as they did, or they recognize something about themselves that they didn't know, or they realize that they know somebody else better now. Whatever it is, I need to deliver that to the reader.
In the stories that Lucy and Olive share, I think Olive says at one point that a story needs to have a point. Do you feel that as well?
I think the point can come in many different ways. I think there has to be a reason that a reader will read something, but I don't know that it needs to have a point in the sense of an old-fashioned, English teacher type of what's the point of this story. But there needs to be some reason that the reader will go with you.
And that seems to be something that you are so good at, because in my reading of your work, there seem to be many points that are made throughout.
There's just even a half a line here or there that I hope somebody will go, oh, right.
We were talking about Lucy and Bob and their relationship, and I don't want to give anything away, but the relationship does evolves
Yes.
through the novel. Were you aware of how that would work out?
I was not. And the more that I wrote them, the more nervous I became. Because I thought, I have to deal with this. What is going to happen here? And I really did not know what was going to happen with them. And I just finally realized, okay, just stay true to who they are, stay true to who they are, And so that was what helped me. And then the very final scene in the book, it came to me almost like an inspiration. It just arrived. And then I thought, oh, okay, phew. There we are.
Are you conscious when you're doing it of even in creating a new character, of a character that will be added to the cast that you have assembled, of what is needed, of an ingredient that is needed in the mixture?
Yeah, I mean, like there's Matt Beach and, you know, his mother and his sister, which are totally new characters in this book. And I'm again conscious that the reader needs to be able to see them, visualize them, you know, get a visual sense of who this fellow is, Matt Beach. And I have to make sure that he's speaking his thoughts to mostly Bob, I guess he's the one he's talking to the most.
Right.
But to make sure that his dialogue is authentic to him, you know. So all those things I have to make sure that the reader can have a clear image. Who's this guy? Who is he, Matt Beach?
And this goes back to a thought that we were talking about in regards to Bob, but Matt, the character too, is often misunderstood.
You're absolutely right. And the more that I worked with Matt, the more intriguing I found him to be. And obviously Bob, I think Bob transforms his life. And Bob isn't even fully aware that he is doing such a wonderful thing for Matt Beach, but he is, and there they are.
We're
Just fellows.
reminded that Bob is an attorney and Bob is assisting Matt. And it is interesting because that is a relationship that has its own set of rules.
That's right.
And yet it is also a relationship that evolves and becomes a very strong bonding. And so again, skirting the story here, but I did mention in the introduction, I mean, there's a crime that's committed, and there is a mystery element to this. And was that something that you have explored in the past or wanted to take a crack at?
You know, it's funny because I've never had any interest in writing any, you know, sort of mystery thing at all. But it just came to me, the way these things come to me. I just kept thinking of a quarry, which is obviously where the mother's body is found. And for some reason, I just thought about this quarry, and then I sort of thought about a red wig. I mean, it just wouldn't go away. And that's frequently how I find my characters or my stories is just that something sort of arrives and doesn't go away. And that's what happened with this particular part of the book. I just thought, okay, then I guess I'm going to run with it and see what happens.
Elizabeth Strout is the author of Tell Me Everything, a novel. It is published by Random House. I do want to talk about Olive Kittredge. This is a wonderful character, and I'm curious how that character first came to you, and did you ever have any idea that you'd still be writing about this character?
No, I have never ever intended to write about a character again, and yet they stay with me, especially somebody like Olive. She just, you know, the first time I met Olive, so to speak, I was unloading the dishwasher, and I just felt this presence behind me, and I heard the inside of her head say, "It's high time everybody went home." And I thought, "Whoa, this is strong. I've got to get this down." So I went right down and wrote that, and then that's Olive. So Olive just shows up, and then she showed up again, you know, a few years later, and I had to write Olive again because she does show up. But when she's Olive, you know, you can't mess around with Olive.
It comes, and this is what you do beautifully in the novel, but as she shows up, you know so much about her just by a word, a phrase, you have her waving her hand in the air a lot in this novel.
And she swings her foot.
Yes, and swinging the foot, exactly.
Not all she does, except sits and says everything. I mean, says a few things once in a while.
And this is an elderly woman, but a very active woman, very active and very engaged.
Yes, very much. And she remains engaged. And I feel deeply for Olive, actually.
I think the last time we spoke, we did a live event at Hotchkiss School in Connecticut, and I believe, said to me at that time that you could never kill that character off.
No,
Do you still feel that way?
I do. I have been saying that I realize I will, you know, Olive Kittredge will never die on my watch. I will not let that happen. So.
And is the reason for that because of the love that this goes back to your relationship with the readers, but of our love for this character and not wanting to deal with that part of life, which can lead to death, of course.
Right. And I mean, death is obviously tremendously real. It's one of the only few things that all of us have in common. And yet, Olive is so alive. I feel like she is so alive on the page for the reader that she's just going to stay alive on the page for the reader. Because it's fiction. I don't need to carry her through.
Would you ever bring her back in time of look at an earlier aspect of her life?
I don't think so. A couple of readers that I've met have asked me that, and I don't think so. I think that she is going to continue to mature. If I even see her again, I'm not sure I will, but I don't think I'm interested at this point in her younger life.
Olive Kitteridge was first, and then Lucy Barton was created. When Lucy came, what is it that you wanted to explore and understand about this character with a very traumatic childhood?
Yeah, Lucy arrived as her voice. And that's why up until this book, the Lucy books are written in first person. Well, anything is possible is not, but my name is Lucy Barton, O. William. Those are written in Lucy's first person voice. And it was the voice that arrived to me, whereas Olive arrived to me as a presence. And it was like, oh, there's Olive. But Lucy's voice was like sort of like a gold thread that was coming down from the ceiling. And I kept thinking, if I can catch that voice, then I can do her character. And I just kept trying to find her voice and stay with her voice. And she did. She had a very rough, very impoverished background, as people do. And later I realized, I had grown up in two small towns in my life, and I realized that there were families just like Lucy's in those small towns, and I wanted to give them a voice. I was driving around Maine with my husband in a rural part, and I saw this house, and it said sewing and alterations. And there was a boy getting out of the car with his mother, and he looked so sad. And I thought, right, I want his story to be told. So essentially, that's what I was trying to do with Lucy.
When you look at this family of characters, and it's a as most families are, they can be shaggy and not always pristine. But is there again, this goes back to a beginning of our conversation about the mood, but a comfort in having this utility belt filled with really beautiful characters that can be used in different settings.
Yes, I feel like all of these characters, every one of them, I just love. Basically, I love them. And I don't really care how badly behaved they are because people behave badly sometimes, so that's not my concern. My concern is just I love them and I want to record them and I want to share them with the reader.
Bad behavior is relative, right? I mean, we don't
Yeah,
what
it
is
sure is. Oh
accepted.
my goodness, it sure is, yes.
There, I mentioned the family part, but there's also many of these characters are just inherently lonely, aren't they?
Yeah, there is a sense of that. And that's why I'm so interested in having them connect with each other in the variety of different ways. And I've spoken before, I think, about moments of grace that, no matter how lonely a story might appear at first blush to a reader, there's always a moment of grace in that story. And I think there's many moments of grace in this book, meaning there are many moments of connection, of genuine connection with another person, and they don't feel nearly as lonely as a result, no matter if it's a big connection or a little connection.
I was going to say big connection, little connection, because there are moments of grace that are life altering in some
That's
cases.
right. Exactly. Absolutely.
It makes the reader want to befriend that character as much as another character would befriend that
Right.
character.
That's, I hope so. That's a sweet thought. I like that. Thank you.
I when you look at this body of work, which is just tremendous, this novel, Tell Me Everything, is an Oprah pick. It's the second, I believe, correct? The second Oprah pick. That says a lot, of course, and is it is winning the Super Bowl in publishing. What is it like to get that call?
Oh, it was amazing both times. I was really surprised. I mean, the first time I was really surprised, and the second time I was even more surprised because she'd already chosen one. I didn't know that she could do it again, but she did. It was really quite lovely. I actually thought somebody was playing a joke on me the second time.
What was it in the book that she saw that touched her?
I think that she was just she just loved the themes of friendship. You know, and the whole idea of the many, many layers of friendships that can occur and do occur in this world, from, the so-called small to the really large and important.
And so much love in the book.
Yes, and absolutely.
And you are writing a contemporary novel that it takes place in our current day and the mess that we're often in this country, and that seems to be exactly what we need sometimes.
I think so. Oh man, I know. Always do whatever.
It just seems like if there were ever a novel to come out at a perfect time, that this going into the election is just like, okay, this is
Take a
the
breath. Just
Right.
like
This is the icy
a
hot,
world and
the Bengay I need to soothe me at
I
this time.
think so. Thank you. I hope so. Yeah.
Well, the name of the new novel is Tell Me Everything by Elizabeth Stroud. It is published by Random House. Elizabeth, it's been a delight to speak to you.
Thank you so much.
Again, Elizabeth Stroud's new novel is Tell Me Everything, published by Random House. Thanks to our producer, Sarah LaDuke. Write to us at book@wamc.org. The latest on national productions programs is available via the Airwaves newsletter at wamc.org and on social media at WAMC Radio. Bookmark us for next week, and thanks for listening. For The Book Show, I'm Joe Donahue.